the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. PC leader Doug Ford has won another majority government after last night's provincial election. And it doesn't seem like too much changed across the province, especially here in the London area. London remains an island of orange amongst a sea of blue, which is the same result as in 2022. Today, I'm talking with London Free Press digital editor Patrick Maloney about the local results. Hey, Pat, how are you?
Morning, Rachel. How you doing?
Good, good. I know you had a busy night last night. You guys were working hard, but nothing changed. Nothing changed in London's kind of 10 riding region. What are we looking at this morning?
Well, that is very true. So you talk about a change election, right? Where people, what they're motivated by is we just need to change. This is the opposite. It was a status quo election. 10 MPPs from the last legislature all ran for re-election. All 10 got re-elected, and pretty much all of them knew by within 1 minute of the polls closing that they were going to get reelected. It was a romp for everybody. So no change. And I think that speaks to the level of comfort people have with the progressive conservative government, because the Donald Trump tariff threat was such an overarching defining issue of the race. That's my personal interpretation of it, but it's still early, so we're not exactly sure yet.
Yeah. We were watching a couple of London ridings, London North Centre and London West, for possible PC takeovers. Those are NDP held. The NDP did win, but we were kind of watching them for a little bit. We were watching the polls. They would flip back and forth or get closer and farther apart. How did that go throughout the campaign?
Yeah, so that, you know, sometimes what doesn't happen is very interesting too. The progressive conservatives riding this surge of popularity with Doug Ford. This city has elected progressive conservative MPPs in the past, liberal MPPs in the past. All three urban ridings in the city are held by New Democrats, Peggy Sattler, Terrence Kernahan, and Teresa Armstrong. And they all won going away last night. No, not even close. And it looked like, or I should say, we wondered if the progressive conservatives might win at least one of those seats. In fact, Doug Ford was in London on the last day of campaigning, which suggested he thought that too. Mm-hmm. But they didn't. So the question is, why did London voters reject the Doug Ford surge across the province? We don't know the answer yet. We're talking to some experts today. My colleague, Jack Moulton, who was one of several colleagues who were out in the field last night, he's going to talk to some experts about what does it say about the London voter that they stuck with the New Democrats. It might could be that we have really effective New Democrat MPPs. It might be that the progressive conservatives had ineffective candidates locally. I'm not sure, but in Hamilton, there are five seats. Three of them are now progressive conservative after last night. And the Hamilton Spectator has a columnist named Scott Radley, and he called that a political shocker. So The surge affected Hamilton, which I think is always a comparable city in terms of size. Mm-hmm. But in London, voters said, no thanks. Yeah. So, which I found.
The other thing I find interesting is that before having all NDP MPs, we had all Liberal MPs since 2003, or MPPs, I should say, all Liberal MPPs. So we haven't had a conservative MPP since before 2023 in the three London proper ridings. But this time, the Liberals finished third in all of those ridings. So what can we take away from that? Maybe what are we going to be asking experts about regarding that? And, you know, maybe what does that say about the Liberal Party and how they're doing right now?
Yeah, like there's not really anything to say about the Liberal Party, which when I came of age as a reporter 20 years ago, they were the ruling party of the province. I'm not even sure you'd call them an afterthought now. Do they even really exist? I mean, you got 80 Tory seats, 27 New Democrat, 14 Liberals. I mean, that's nothing. And they're not a threat in any of the ridings around here, which is a region they used to rule. Mm-hmm. So not a good reflection on the leader, Bonnie Crombie, and certainly maybe a reflection on the gas plant scandal and a few other things that happened under McGuinty and Wynne. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that party recovers and if it recovers, but we're now a progressive conservative or New Democrat region.
Yeah,
that seems to be the case. This is the third election where the Liberals are just a non-factor.
Yeah. In London North Centre, we were watching NDP Terence Kernahan. He won again, but PC Jerry Pribble was up against him for the second time. In the last election, 2022, Terence only won by 4,000 votes. So we were really keeping an eye on that one, but now it seems like he actually got a few more thousand this time.
Yeah. Yeah, the margin of victory in terms of the percentage of the votes was roughly the same. Jerry Pribble is a sitting city councillor. We did a story, my colleague Jack Moulton did it about a month ago, that London voters do not like when city councillors take a leave of absence to run for higher office. In this century, it's happened about, I'll say, 10 times, and there's been one victory. And Jerry Pribble, I mean, it wasn't even really close last night. So maybe that explains that particular result. But Kernahan also is clearly an effective and popular MPP in that riding. So yeah, it was interesting. I found that really, really interesting, that result.
Okay, let's talk about outside of the city. The one riding that does take in London, or Elgin, Middlesex, London, I should say, they re-elected Rob Flack, PC Rob Flack. He was pretty much a shoo-in, right? That's kind of what we expected.
Yeah, 55% voter share, just a butt kicking by him. And there was, of course, a big new Democrat scandal. The candidate dropped out last week after some past comments she made about black women were surfaced. She's still on the ballot. I think she got a few thousand votes. But anyway, Flack won. And what's interesting about that is the support is so strong there. Well, when you think about the Trump auto tariffs and the threat to our auto sector, if it does come to pass in Southwestern Ontario, that's the number one, that could be the number one riding that could be affected, because they've got a $7 billion Volkswagen electric vehicle battery plant ban planned to open there in a couple of years. Is it still going to open there? And I think maybe that result suggests that voters in that riding recognize that threat. And if they do, they believe that Doug Ford was the best guy to back them up.
What do you think? Do you think that was one of the main issues, the tariffs? What do you think the candidates were seeing and hearing at the doors when they were knocking, talking to people? What was some of the main issues they were hearing?
The new Demo and again, my colleagues were the ones in the field interviewing them, but based on the comments that they got, the new Democrats who won in London said health care, cost of living, rental price, the rent you pay. Those were the big issues. Unfortunately, the reality, just if you want to add to the list of things of Donald Trump you don't really like, this Ontario election was seemed to me that it was a referendum on who can best protect Ontario's economy from Trump's tariffs. That means underfunded schools, strained healthcare system, Children's Aid Society cutting services to the most vulnerable kids in our community, cost of living stuff, that all got pushed to the side. So we really didn't have an election on the real issues that are clearly straining this province. But yeah, so,
So
but you know,
Rob,
the progressive conservatives were quite clear that they felt that that was the main issue, was the tariffs.
and Doug Ford really came out swinging as soon as Trump announced that he was going to look into tariffs, and he had the hats that say Canada's not for sale. Do you think that really swayed some voters, kind of his tough talk against Trump, and I'm going to stand up for you, and because that we all got our backs up immediately, right? And kind of united as a country based on that unite that threat to all of us.
Yeah, and the numbers don't lie. I mean, he called an early election saying that he did so because he wanted a big mandate for voters to battle the tariff threat. Some of his critics would say that's not quite why he did it. But anyway, look at the numbers, right? He got 80 of the 115 seats last night. So it clearly that's it worked. It worked.
Okay, let's look at some of the other ridings around London. We're just talking about the 10 kind of in and around London today, stretching from like Huron-Bruce down to Chatham-Kent over to Oxford. Nothing changed. All still PCs. Does
All
that
progressive
prove?
conservatives. Yeah, all progressive conservatives. And some of those are formerly liberal ridings. So all progressive conservatives, and they all won in a walk.
Another interesting riding was Haldimand Norfolk, not one that we typically focus on, but what was happening there?
Yeah, I thought that was the most interesting riding. And I think I encourage people to go read the Cinco Reformer coverage on it. They have an independent MPP named Bobby Ann Brady. And she formerly worked for the previous MPP. And then she got elected in the last vote. And it was a pretty big surprise. I mean, she's not running under a party banner. She's independent. And last night she ran against the progressive conservative opponent named Amy Martin, who is the mayor of Norfolk County, so very well known. And she's riding that blue wave. She's Doug Ford's candidate. And Bobby Ann Brady, the independent candidate, crushed her. I am just shocked by that result. Good. I mean, full marks to the independent candidate, but really surprising. I thought that was maybe the most interesting result in the province. And if I can also say too, it's just so fascinating. It's not a surprise, but it's fascinating in Oxford, which is Woodstock, that area. Ernie Hardiman, MPP since 1995, last night got reelected for the ninth time or to a ninth term with 55% of the vote. So you're just like nobody's ever going to beat him. You know, as
Nobody's
long as
going
he
to beat
wants
him.
to run. It's just
Is that the
so fun.
longest running? Is he the longest serving MPP right now?
He's got to be in the legislature now, but now you're talking, where is he in the all-time ranking? We're trying to figure that out. Just make sure we got the numbers right, because it's got, I mean, 30 years as an MPP and with 55% of the vote last night. It's hilarious.
You
But
can't
good
go
for
up
him.
against him. Can't go up against him.
They had like, and like the Liberals had a Woodstock City Councilor. It's a pretty solid candidate. Not even close.
For the independent candidate in Haldimand, Norfolk, she's the only independent in the legislature now, right?
Only one, yeah.
At Queen's Park. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I mean, so rare. I can't think of another one. I'm sure
she
there
must
have
be
been other
very
ones.
involved. If people know her, she must be, she represents the area, so they
Yeah, and
must.
that was a pretty formidable opponent. Like, I mean, if you'd asked me, I would have said that's the end, right? But nope, not even
Absolutely.
good for Bobby and Brady.
Okay, we talked about a couple, we've covered this election a few times on this podcast, how quick this campaign was because it was a snap election. They only had 4 weeks to kind of get their candidates in order. We didn't have candidates for the first couple of weeks in a lot of areas. And how difficult this campaign was for the candidates because it was so cold. So did that affect things at all? Like, did we reach everybody? Did the candidates get to talk to as many people as they wanted? Did that hinder the quickness and the cold, just the weather? A winter election is hard,
My colleague Jennifer Beeman did a story on exactly like the physical risks to candidates of winter elections. There hasn't been one in decades, and the physical risks are pretty serious. Like, slipping on ice, tripping on a snowbank, driving in a blizzard when you're in Huron-Bruce and it's 45 minutes between campaign stops and it's all on back roads. I spoke to a candidate a couple of weeks ago in London, and the day before he had fallen down and had a bruise all down the side of his body. So it's brutal, right? It's brutal. And like, so there's that risk. But then you get what you're asking was like the voter risk, right? Like, this month sucked. Like, this winter has been absolutely just brutal on us, right? And then, like, you know what? Election? Oh, God. I don't want to go out to vote. So the fear was that voter turnout was going to plummet, and it actually went up from the 2022 election. So it went up a percentage point is what I'm reading from Global News this morning, which is citing Elections Ontario figures. So it was 45% turnout, 45% of eligible voters, which is still so depressing that that's the number, that more than half of people feel like they just don't want to vote. But at least the number didn't go down, and there wasn't, you had the risk of maybe there being a blizzard on election night or something.
I mean,
Really.
if people are apathetic normally, last time we only had 44% of voters, which was a record low. I mean, just abysmal how few people actually voted. This time we got 1% more. And it was quick. There's people away, there's snowbirds who aren't here in the winter. That's hard.
Yeah,
It's hard to
we
have
don't
a,
want to go outside. I don't want to go outside. I don't want to go to the polling station. But people voted. So to the people who did, that's great. And to the people who didn't, I don't really heap scorn on them. I say, like, what are we doing here as a society that more than half of the eligible voters are just like, eh, it's not going to make a difference. And you know what? That's a pretty damning statement on the state of, I guess, our social structure in Ontario. And we're not going to solve that problem here. But,
No. A lot of
again,
apathy, though. There's
yeah,
a lot of apathy.
and we just had an election where the only thing that the ruling government talked about was some politician in another country. So no problem solved. But we'll see. We'll see if it keeps improving. I'm not optimistic, and it is really alarming.
I'm sure we'll have a federal election in the next little while too. So,
Yeah.
okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Nothing changed. So we're all the same here in London, and we're going to watch for your stories at lfpress.com on maybe why things didn't change, and some of the expert opinions on all of that. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.